WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The largest grossing movie ever, E.T., is now available on home video. So is the Disney classic Cinderella. Critic Ken Tucker comments on their transformation for the small screen.
The big news in video, to adopt a reportorial tone all too rarely taken in this segment, is that 8.5 million copies of E.T. cassettes were delivered to video stores this past week. The 1982 Steven Spielberg film, so long and so cagily delayed in its cassette release, has created a 1988 media stir. So far, most of the discussion about this phenomenon has centered around stories of unavailability. Advance orders left unfilled due to an unprecedented demand, resulting in angry and desperate moms and dads who felt they'd look ineffectual to their children if they didn't bring E.T. home on the night it first hit the stores. I think there's a certain amount of hype going on here. A few phone calls to some video stores where I live yielded the information that they've got stacks of E.T.s sitting around waiting for consumption. Amidst all this, there's been very little said about the movie itself. Does this grand fantasy, for example, transfer well to the small screen? The answer is no. E.T. was filmed as a widescreen theatrical extravaganza, and in fitting the movie into the squarer proportions of the TV screen, the image has been squashed in on either side. There's no doubt, however, that the power of Spielberg's storytelling probably triumphs over these aesthetic complaints. 6 years on, this story of a young boy's encounter with a friendly alien does have what many of its supporters said at the time of its first release, the look and emotional resonance of a children's classic. Another new release aimed primarily at children is Walt Disney's Cinderella. It's made the move to videocassette with considerably more success. This 1950 cartoon is one that any sensible adult must feel ambivalent about. On the one hand, this gorgeous production features some of the Disney Studio's finest, most accomplished animation. On the other, it presents one of Disney's most obtrusive rewritings of a classic fairy tale, stuffing the story with sentimentality and funny mice. Here, for example, are Cinderella and her rodent pals planning her dress for the prince's ball.
This one.
Oh, very nice. Nice.
Like it.
Who can do it? It'd be wheezy.
I'll have to shorten the sleeves. I'll need a sash, ruffle, and something for collar. And then I'll...
Cinderella.
Oh, now what do they want?
Cinderella.
Poor Cinderella. Every time she finds a minute, that's the time when they begin it. Cinderella. Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Whatever your opinion on those chattering mice, there's little doubt that most of the charm of this version of Cinderella carries over onto the TV screen. In one important area, in fact, it may even be a bit better than seeing it in a movie theater. In a theater, depending on who your local projectionist is, the animation's rich colors can often be drastically watered down to misty pastels. Video cassette quality control offers colors the way the animators intended them to appear. At a time when Saturday morning cartoons are dismally unimaginative, Cinderella is children's entertainment of a high artistic order. As it happens, there's a deluge of Disney on video right now. You can also get the studio's cartoon versions of Alice in Wonderland and The Sword in the Stone, but I wouldn't recommend them. They're sticky with sentiment and marred by bad music. Read the books to your kids instead. The underrated gem in the new batch of releases, however, is The Three Caballeros, the raucous 1944 cartoon in which Donald Duck meets up with the parrot Jose Carioca and Panchito, the Mexican rooster. It's got great South of the Border music, slapstick, and Donald's rude behavior.
Ken Tucker writes about popular culture for the Philadelphia Inquirer.